Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Beautiful song and reminder from Mr. Glenn Campbell off his album Greatest Hymns. And what a joy it is to know that this dear man and wonderful musician singer came to know Jesus Christ. He died of the effects of Alzheimer's a few years ago, but I sure enjoy his music, and I hope that was a blessing to you in the sweet by and by. And the hope that we have is that one of these days we will see loved ones and friends. As we all step into the presence of Jesus Christ, that's going to be a great day. Well, we are now into the spring season of the year, and this month, of course, we'll take time to acknowledge two of the greatest events in all the history of mankind, and that is the death of Jesus, his burial, and resurrection. And what a joy it is to be able to celebrate that. And during the month of April, I'm going to be sharing a sermon that is more evangelistic in nature as we seek to reach those who are lost and who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So I covet your prayers as we share these programs. And as I am involved in revival meetings during the month of April, I'm going to be at Beulah Chapel Church of the Nazarene in Niota, Tennessee, April 6 through 9. And then I will travel to Elizabethton, Tennessee, April 16 to 20. That's at the First Church of the Nazarene in Elizabethton. And then, finishing out the month, April 25 to 27, I will be at Wayside Community Church, and that is in Pennsylvania, in the city of Mercer, Pennsylvania. So pray for me as I travel. It'll mean so much. And pray for fresh anointing on each of these services. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience today, and I pray that as we consider where we are in our relationship with you, that you would speak to hearts and speak to minds. I pray you especially touch that person that may not know for a certainty that they're ready to meet you. And may this be the day when they come to that realization of your love for them and they confirm their faith in you and the assurance that they're ready to meet their Savior. Thank you so much for those who listen, those who support the program. Be with those who are sick and shut in. Be with those churches that will meet and preach the Word of God and their congregations as they worship Jesus Christ this weekend. I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. I need your help to stay on your radio station. 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
He's calling, woe sinner, come home.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Mark chapter 8 verse 36 says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It goes without saying that the word soul is a very significant word in the Bible, for it is used 460 times in the Old Testament and 57 times in the New Testament. Someone has said that there are 700,000 words in the English language, and they have said that the greatest word is God, the nearest word is now, the meanest word is hypocrisy, the darkest word is sin, and the longest word is eternity. But the deepest word is the word soul. Every one of us in divine presence tonight has an eternal soul. Someone has said that the soul is a God-shaped vacuum that only God can satisfy. And for the next few minutes this evening, I would like for us to consider some facts regarding your soul and my soul. And the first fact that I would like for us to consider is this: the soul, your soul, my soul, is vast. If you could travel to the east as far as you could in an easterly direction and then reverse your course and travel in the opposite direction and go as far as you could in the west and then again change your course of travel and travel as far as you could in a northerly direction until you topped the North Pole and then again reversed your course of direction and traveled until you reached Antarctica. In all of your travels, as you travel in every direction, north, south, east, and west, in search of the boundary line of the soul, you would discover that the soul, your soul, my soul, has no boundary line. If you could take all of the farms in the Midwest, take all of the farms in the Southeast, take all of the farms that you could travel around the world and see, take all of those farms and dump them into the soul, then that would not even raise the dust on the bed, on the floor of the soul. If you could take all of the cattle raised on 1,000 hills, raised on the plains of every country, on the plains of every farm, across the great wild west of the United States of America, and you could take all of the cattle, all of the livestock that's ever been raised from the beginning of time until now, and lump them together and dump them over into the soul, then they would not even make one decent meal for the soul of man. You see, your soul, my soul, is vast. If you could take all of the coinage, all of the currency that has ever been minted, take all of the gold and all of the silver and get it into one great big mass and then somehow be able to push it over into the soul. The soul of man is so vast that you would not even hear the clink of the first coin. The soul of man, your soul, my soul, it is vast. If you could send out 1,000 ships manned by 1,000 crews and send them out to sail for 1,000 years to every point and every harbor to find the shoreline of the soul, then they would return after 1,000 years and report in the negative. The soul of man has no shoreline. You see what I'm trying to tell you this evening, my friend, is the soul of man is vast. It has an appetite that nothing the world has to offer can satisfy. The songwriter has put it like this: only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Your soul is vast, and the only one that can really fulfill the deep-seated longings of the soul is the blessed second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ Himself. The soul of man is vast. The second fact that I would like for you to consider tonight is this: the soul, your soul, my soul, is valuable. Mark chapter 8, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself made the very definitive statement that the soul is worth more than the whole world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The soul, you see, is valuable. To try and give you some perspective on the value of the soul, let me put it to you like this: the soul, your soul, my soul, is worth more than a building. The Taj Mahal, one of the great seven wonders of the world, was built by a man as a result of his love for his wife. And that building took a number of years to construct, and the woman for whom it was built died before she ever laid eyes upon the finished product. But it was built and is worth thousands, yeah, even millions of dollars. And people travel from virtually every point of the globe to lay their eyes upon the Taj Mahal. But your soul is worth more than a building like the Taj Mahal. It is estimated that Solomon's temple, if it were constructed in the 1990s, it would cost an estimated $85 billion. We look around our great nation and we see the Twin Towers in Chicago. What a building we see there. We've always known about the Empire State Building. We see the United Nations Building, New York City. And we see these massive structures that cost millions upon millions of dollars to construct. But I submit to this congregation tonight that your soul, my soul, is worth more than a building. It is worth more than any of these buildings that we have listed to you tonight. If Jesus had said that your soul and my soul was worth that of the cost of a building, then we could have estimated its value. But you see, Jesus did not say that your soul is worth that of a building. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You see, your soul is worth more than a building. It's worth more than a city. It's worth more than a country or a county or a state. It's worth more than all of the 50 states put together. And if Jesus had said that your soul was as valuable as a city, a county, a state, or all the 50 states combined, then we could have some perception, some idea, as large as the value would be, we could still have some understanding of the value of a soul. But you see, Jesus said that your soul, my soul, is worth more than a building, worth more than a city, a county, a state, all of the 50 states combined. He said that your soul is worth more than a continent. He said that your soul and my soul is worth more than the entire world. You say, Lane, aren't you exaggerating a bit tonight to tell me that my soul is worth more than the entire world? Why, certainly not me, Lane, because you see, I live back over here in the country. I don't own a whole lot. I'm not a very important person. But yet you're telling me that my soul is worth more than the entire world? Certainly that can't be true. Maybe, Lane, you're talking about somebody like John Wesley. Maybe their soul is worth more than the world. Or maybe Charles Finney or Bud Robinson or maybe Charles Spurgeon, maybe Billy Graham, maybe their soul is that valuable. Certainly, though, not my soul. Oh, hear it tonight, my friend. Yes, the soul of John Wesley and Charles Finney and Bud Robinson and Billy Graham, their souls are valuable, but also the soul of the poorest, most wretched individual in the world is also valuable. Your soul is valuable. My soul is valuable. So valuable that God Almighty, as it was preached from this pulpit before the foundation of the world, He planned it out that His Son might come and die, that your soul might be redeemed. Your soul is valuable tonight. And somebody has said that He can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. The blood of Jesus Christ has gone deeper than the stain of sin could ever go. Your soul is valuable. It's worth more, according to the words of Jesus Christ. It is worth more than the entire world. But not only is the soul vast, not only is your soul and my soul valuable, but your soul and my soul is immortal. The words of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Well, there was a time when your soul, my soul, did not exist. But now, the very moment you became a living being, the very moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, you became a living soul. Somebody made the statement that the soul of man has drunk from the eternal fountain of youth. And when 10,000 millenniums have rolled out their ceaseless cycle, the soul of man will still be perpetuating onward. Your soul is immortal. And remember this tonight, my friend. Nothing that God has ever created can be destroyed. Your soul will never be destroyed. Your soul is immortal. It is that one part of your being that will live on and on and on and on and on and on. You say, "Wait a minute, Lane, you say that nothing that God has ever created can be destroyed. What about water? I can destroy water. I can take a pot of water and put it on a stove, and I can bring that water to a boiling point, and I can boil that water until it's disappeared, and I can destroy that water." No, you haven't destroyed it. You've just changed its form from a liquid to a vapor. You say, "Wait a minute, Lane. You say that nothing that God has ever created can be destroyed. I can go out here into these woods and I can destroy any tree I choose to destroy. I can cut it down. I can cease that tree. I can cause that tree not to live any longer. The sap will no longer run through that tree and give it life. I can cut it down." Oh, you can cut it down. You say, "Lane, I can take it to the sawmill and I can saw it up and I can destroy that tree." No, you've not destroyed it. You just changed its form. You say, "Lane, but I can burn it." Yes, you can, but you cannot destroy it. You can just change its form. How much more the soul? The soul is immortal. The songwriter said it like this: "A charge to keep have I, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, and fit it for the sky." The soul of man is vast. The soul of man is valuable. The soul of man, your soul, my soul, is immortal.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily. And I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my
I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Please let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly knowing thou art mine. And only Jesus is the answer. Lord, I give myself.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so that we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.